Reformed Church.
I just want to share something with you because Pastor Jose, even recently, I think this was on Wednesday, had shared something at the end of Wednesday service about, you know, basically the Lord told him something, actually said something to him in Spanish and about like, you know, like let's go and just kind of going where God wants us to go, not letting anything hinder you or hold you back. And I will say that there is a tendency though to be held back in what you believe, and not just in what you believe, but also in the fruit that God's producing in you. God will produce certain, because you know we're not only persecuted for what we believe. There are things that fruit that the Holy Spirit will begin producing in your life and in your mouth too that the world won't recognize, and many Christians won't even recognize what's going on there. And because it's different from how they do things, they will persecute you for that. So just, you know, that is a sure promise for anyone that desires to live godly in Christ Jesus, that we will endure persecution. So much to say about that, but people will reject you for that. Now, of course, it's well worth the endeavor, because you're gaining everything that Jesus has, and if someone doesn't like you for it, that's okay. That's a small price to pay for it. But I just want to read you something real quick in Genesis, because you know Lot was a righteous man, and despite the fact he did a lot of wrong things, in just the short narration that God gives of him in the Bible, and yet he did some doozies. But the Bible does say that he was a righteous man, and it makes it pretty evident that he was righteous by faith and not by works when you see what he did in Sodom. But that aside, God was calling him out of Sodom. Sodom was an ungodly place, and particularly the Bible mentions their unbelief, actually. That was actually the sin of Sodom, that the Bible, amongst all the things that they did, the Bible says that they were destroyed for unbelief, which is pretty interesting. But that actually was their sin. But God was calling Lot out because God was going to destroy Sodom. A lot of context I could give to that, but regardless, God was going to destroy Sodom and wanted to bring Lot out from amongst them. God did not want Lot to reap the results of those of the unbelieving, okay? That should be a really good note to everybody, that God does not want you to reap the same results as the unbelieving. If you expect the same results in any area of your life that the world is experiencing, then you're not living in your inheritance. You're not. There's not a single part of your life, in your mind, in your body, in your speech, in your health, which of course is your part of your body, but in anything that God wants it to resemble the way the world does things, okay? So if you're doing things the way the world does them, you're not living in your inheritance. You don't know your inheritance. And God was calling Lot out from the results of the quote-unquote wicked, of the unbelieving. He wanted him to get different results, and in this particular case, it was he didn't want him to be destroyed like everybody else. And the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. The reason why this world is dying, and I mean physically, okay, physically, and the reason why this world is dying is because of what they don't know about Jesus killing them. Okay, I'm talking about sickness, I'm talking about aging, I'm talking about weakness, I'm talking about any impropriety in their life. All these results they're getting is due to carnal mindedness, okay? And God doesn't want you to think like the world, because if you think like the world, you're going to get what the world gets, right? And because he doesn't want that for you, he's calling you out from amongst them in your form, on the outside. He doesn't want your results in your life to be like theirs. So he's calling your mind out from thinking like them. He says, don't walk like the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, because you're going to get the same results as them if you do think like them. But God was calling Lot out physically from Sodom because he did not want Lot to be destroyed. But it's super important in Genesis 19:14. They'll get it up above me in a second. But Genesis 19:14 says, and Lot went out, spake unto his sons-in-law, who were also in Sodom, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Super important to know this too, that he's speaking the truth to his sons-in-law, and they didn't believe him. And they thought that he was kidding. They figured he's, and some people will think that you're kidding, or they'll think that you're crazy, or you know whatever it is for speaking the things or doing the things that God's called you to in your life. And this is what was going on with Lot. They thought that he was joking around. He's saying this place is going to be destroyed. Lot was calling his sons-in-law out to come with him and saying, hey, I want you to come with me and get these better results and not be destroyed like this world, okay? Super important here. Who wants to be destroyed like this world? No hand should be up, right? But if you don't want to be destroyed like this, where you've got to think differently than they do, because they're being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And if you have the same lack of knowledge, and if you know Jesus very little, in small degree, more than this world, you're not going to get very many more results than this world is getting. And he's trying to convince his sons-in-law they wouldn't come. And then just in closing here in verse 15, it says, "And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot," the angels that had visited Lot were hastening him, saying, "Arise, take up your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city." Again, don't get the same results as the city is getting. Don't stay amongst them. Don't do what they're doing. Think what they're thinking. And they're hastening him in verse 16. "And while he lingered," now maybe he was lingering because his sons-in-law, he was trying to get his sons-in-law to go, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't exactly say. But it does say he was trying to convince his sons-in-law to come with him, and they wouldn't. They think he's joking, and so he lingers. He lingers where he shouldn't be. He lingers in results he shouldn't be getting. He lingers in thinking that he shouldn't be thinking. He lingers in a place he shouldn't be lingering because someone else won't come with him. And you have to have a mentality about you that you're willing to go into what God's called you to, which is namely everything that Jesus has in his resurrection, that you're willing to go there if every single other person forfeits and makes Christ's work in vain. You have to be willing to go there because you are accountable to God to believe him, not whether someone else does or your neighbor's going with you or everyone else is even moving at the same pace as you are. You run full-fledged after the gospel and what God's called you to. And again, when I'm saying God's called you to, I'm talking about the image of Jesus that he wants you to lay hold on. You need to run for, and it's, imagine like no one else exists. And God tells you, "I have something more for you. I provided something for you, and it's nothing like this world. Do you want to take the time to learn?" It is going to take an investment of your time, a serious investment of your time. If you're investing little more time into the Word of God and into Scripture and into pursuing the knowledge of Jesus than the world is, again, you're going to get the same results. So it's going to take a huge investment of your time. You know how much time? All your time. Okay? 5-minute devotionals are not for baby Christians, and then meditating day and night is not for mature Christians. No, no, no. Meditating day and night is for every Christian. Okay? Let me just explain this one thing on that point, that we can all seek God the exact same way no matter how mature you are. You could have just been saved yesterday and seek God the same as I'm seeking God right now, and I've been saved for many years. Because seeking God is just pedal to the metal. There's no variation in God's encouragement to you as how much we should seek God. Meditating day and night is just what everybody does. That's just normal Christianity. Okay? Now, when you seek God for longer, you're going to know him more. Quantity of knowledge may vary amongst us, and that is to be expected depending on how much time you've had with the Lord. But how much we're seeking him, how fervent we're seeking him, does not have to vary. See, meditating day and night is for the person that just got saved yesterday. There is no variation in God's encouragement to how much you should be seeking him or how much you should be going. But anyway, just to wrap this up, the point is, it says that he lingered, and then in verse 16, it says very, very clearly that it says that the angels, it says that the men, meaning the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth. They grabbed him, and basically that was their way of saying, whether your sons-in-law come or not, you need to go. You need to get out. You can't let someone else set the pace for you. You have to be willing to go where God's calling you, what he's calling you into, whether someone else is either moving at that same pace with you or whether they never go. It just can't matter to you. It is not love to stay at someone else's pace, to hang out with people you shouldn't be hanging out with because they won't go where you're willing to go. It is not love to do that. Because if you stay with them, hanging out with them, and expose yourself to their kind of habits, expose yourself to their lifestyle, expose yourself to their thinking, if you'll do that out of so-called love because you don't want to offend anybody, you're going to die with them, and that's not love. If they have any hope of ever living a better life than they're living right now, it's going to be because you leave them and you pursue the knowledge of Jesus, even when they hate you for it. That's love. Love is sometimes distancing even yourself from people that aren't willing to go with you for the sake of learning Jesus. There are so many good friends that I even had, and some friends that weren't really pursuing Jesus much, but other friends that were pursuing Jesus. And I had to say to friends when I was a teenager, and when you're a teenager, that's people's time where they say, well, oh no, it's your time to live life and do your thing and run around and do whatever, you know, and we give people the most leeway, unfortunately, even when they're teenagers. And when I was a teenager, I would tell friends, you know, I can't hang out. Sorry, I can't hang out. Right now, any free time I'm having, I'm just, you know, I'm seeking the Lord and I'm getting to know Jesus. I did that constantly. I mean, I still do that to some degree. And so you're going to have to sacrifice certain things, and especially with people, which wasn't so much the case in my life, but with people that are not willing to know the Lord, or if they are, they're not willing to go as far as you are. So then, you know what? Maybe there's a little distance there, but you need to pedal to the metal, pursue what God's calling you to do so that you don't get destroyed with the city. You have to do that. You have to do that. You don't want the results everyone else is getting. If you don't want those results, you can't think what they're thinking and constantly be exposed to what they're being. God wants to grab hold of you and say, listen, your sons-in-law are coming, okay, but you need to get out, because if you're willing to know me, if they have any hope of ever being saved, it'll be because you left. People don't realize that. People don't realize that. God is hastening you out of your results now. Today's the day. Don't say, well, tomorrow when I have more time and my work schedule is finally this, or my family's not so that, or my kids are older. No, no, no. Right now. Right now. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. We choose how we spend them. You are moving currently at the pace that you want to move with the Lord. No one's holding you back. I want to say that one more time, and I'll stop with that. You are right now moving at the pace that you want to move at, not the pace God wants you to move at, not the pace other people want you to move at, not the pace that your schedule's holding you at. You are moving at the pace that you will to move at. God will feed you with bread as much as you will, like the feeding of the 5,000. How much time you want to spend meditating, how far you want to go, okay? If you, just little advice, when those doors are open, now this is not applicable to everybody, but if you want to get to know Jesus and you're like, you know what, forget this worldly, you know, average, what they call normal, dip my toe in the water stuff. If you want to go full force, a huge thing is get into Scripture. It's literally a book written about the stuff that you need to know and God's calling you into. First of all, spend time with the Lord, talk to the Lord, seek Him, and when those doors are open, if your butt's in these seats, I'm telling you, you're going to benefit immensely from that. But full-fledged means full-fledged. That's between you and God. No one's holding you back from that. Your work is not holding you back from that. If you think your work is holding you back from church, try the Lord. Try Him. Say, Lord, I want to be in here every time the doors are open. I want more time to be able to spend with you. God wants you to have that time more than you do. If you will actually spend it, and not that when you have time off, you're spending it just the same way you always would, but if you'll actually spend it properly, God will give you the time. Promise you that.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.